Oh.
Hiya, is that Paul?
Ah, who's calling?
Hi, is Francesca calling from INS Law about the Scottish Medical
Yeah.
Inquiry submitted?
Yeah, about the thing I just filled out.
Yeah, is now a good time to talk?
Yeah, of course I've.
Yeah, perfect. So before we begin, I just need to take some details off you, is that okay?
Yeah, it's cool. Of course it is. Carry on.
So would I be able to grab your full name, please?
It's Paul Alexander Murren. It's Murrin.
Perfect. And do you have any previous names that you were known as while you were in
No,
care or
that was
working?
just
No?
it.
No problem.
It's just
And your date of birth?
4/7/76.
And your current address?
It's 5D for Delta, Bogwood Road, Mayfield, Dalkeith, and that's Edinburgh, Scotland.
And what was the postcode?
EH22 5 Alpha Delta.
And do you happen to recall your address prior to being placed in care?
Yeah, it was 40 Larch Crescent, Mayfield, Dalkeith, but I can't remember the postcode.
That's okay. Say Lark's Crescent.
Larch as in the tree. LARCH. Larch Crescent.
And what area did you say that was?
That's Mayfield, Dalkeith, the same area where I live now.
Okay, perfect. And do you recall your parents' names?
Yeah, it was. At the time, she was Christine Moyers and I had a stepfather called John Moyers.
And how would I spell that surname?
MOYERS.
Perfect. And did she have any maiden names or any of the names that she was known as?
My mum was Christine Glass.
Glass.
And my real father's name was George Murren.
Same as yours, yeah?
Same spelling as mine, yeah.
Perfect. And are you registered with the GP at the moment that I'd be able to take the name of? So just to say.
Yeah, it's New Buyer. What is it? What is it? New Buyer Medical Practice. That's in Gorebridge. I don't know the name of it. Address, but if you type in New Buyer Medical Practice Gorebridge, you'll find it. It's the only one there. And
Gotcha.
that's me. That's Gorebridge, Edinburgh. You know what I mean? Same kind of area.
Okay, perfect. I'll just double check. Right, perfect. 15 Hunterfield Road.
That sounds about right. Yep.
Perfect. So just let you know as well, so all calls are recorded for training and quality
Yeah,
purposes.
that's fine. Don't worry about that.
So I appreciate the discussion experiences connected to this application can be difficult and upsetting. So please take your time during the call, and if you need a break at any point or any
Yeah, that's
explanation,
fine.
just
That's
let me know,
fine.
okay?
Yeah,
And
that's
do you suffer
fine.
from any communication difficulties that you want to make me aware of?
No, I've no communication disabilities or.
So the purpose of today's course, I'll explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you, go through your options, explain how INS Law operates, cover funding and fees, and then gather initial information to assess whether and how we can assist you.
Yeah,
All okay?
that's fine. Yeah,
Yeah, perfect. So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies, and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So I'll make sure that you understand all of your available options before you decide whether to instruct us. So you're able to apply directly to the Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor, or you can
rather use
instruct a
a solicitor.
solicitor.
I'd rather use a solicitor.
Yeah. Or if you're.
No. Obviously, usually we've got a fee, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so we'll cover all
Or
that
whatever.
now.
Yeah, aye.
Yeah. So you can apply by yourself, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme, and then they're paid by the government for helping you with your application.
I
So
wouldn't
under
know how to do it myself, to be honest, pal.
the. Honestly, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So under the government schemes, the solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT from the government for assisting you, whether you're successful or not.
Yeah.
With us, so we're INS Law, so we don't operate under the statutory scheme, so we don't claim the government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'll be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and then we're not paid by the government for assisting you. So would I just be
So
able to confirm?
that mean I need to pay up front?
No. So there's no. We're on. We were gonna. No, we're no fee.
No one, right, that's cool, that's Cool, yeah.
So would I just be able to confirm at this stage you've not instructed any other solicitors to act in
No,
any way?
no, no.
Okay,
It's
cool.
first time
No.
I've time.
So just to confirm that you understand all of your options, is that all okay?
Yeah, I understand.
So yeah, so our agreement is we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And then if you withdraw your application on our
You
advice,
got what
again,
I
you
meant.
pay nothing. So if
Yeah.
your application is successful and you receive the redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. However, the total fees are capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT of your redress payment. You never pay more than that.
Well, that's cheaper than your normal no win, no fee. It's usually 25%, isn't it? So.
Yeah. So as well, so we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the
No.
level of award the scheme may give you. So they operate
Yeah.
on a discretionary basis.
Okay, doc.
So if you instruct us, we can assist with your eligibility to apply to the scheme, and then we gather
Yeah.
and review all the evidence for you. We prepare and submit the full application. We do all the correspondence with the scheme, and then if an offer is made, then we can advise you on it. We'll explain
Yeah.
the statutory waiver if an offer is awarded to you, and then assist you then with any reconsideration or review processes within the
Yeah,
scheme if you're
so
unhappy with the outcome.
yeah, I've put in for criminal injuries before, so it'll kind of be like a similar kind of
Yeah, so is that
angle.
ongoing or is that a closed
No,
one?
that's a closed, that's
Okay,
about
no
8 years
problem.
ago. Aye.
Yeah, so if a redress offer is made, so we'll fully explain the statutory waiver before you accept anything. So it can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. You're not expected to accept an offer unless you fully understand the consequences.
Yeah, I understand that
So
one.
with this as well, so if you decide to proceed, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge.
No, I'd like to proceed there,
Yeah,
because like I
perfect.
say, I was held there against my will,
Yeah.
and like
So
I say, held in me six grown men and flung in padded rooms, and that
yeah, so
against my will wasn't
definitely
very
going ahead
nice.
with the application then.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So as well, so you can authorize us to begin work immediately while your cancellation right still remains. So would you be happy for us to do that? I'm
Yeah,
assuming
oh
so.
yeah,
Yeah.
that'd be fine, yes.
Yeah. And so we're able to act formally for you. So we'll require proof of identity for verification purposes. So we'll need a copy of photographic ID and then a proof of address or a letter or something like that dated within 3 months of today's date.
I've not got any photo ID. I've got bank
Yeah.
cards, I've got birth certificates, I've got
Yes,
credit cards.
so you can use your birth certificate, and if not, we can accept three proof of address instead, so three
Like
letters
letter.
dated.
Aye, well, I can
Yeah.
do all that.
Yeah,
Would I just
perfect.
take photos of that and send that in ease, or
Yeah, so I'll send you
yeah.
an email at the end of this call,
Yeah.
and then you can respond to the email or you can send the photos to our WhatsApp.
Yeah, that
Yeah,
sounds perfect.
perfect.
I've not got WhatsApp, so it needs to be email.
Oh yeah, you can, no, that's no problem. So regarding contacting you, so it's usually phone call, email or text message. Are those all okay?
Phone call or aye, or they are fine, in fact.
Yeah, no problem.
Aye.
And have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses you wish to make us aware of?
Yeah, I've got disabilities though. I've got terminal illnesses. Well, I'm not gonna die, but I've got a thing called HS. You get lumps under your arms. I've got, what's the thing? I've got breathing problems.
Yeah, so when we move forward, so when you send, obviously you sign the contracts, when we gain all your records and stuff, we'll be in contact with the GP, so then
Yeah,
we'll be able to get all
that's
that.
perfect. That's fine. That's okay.
Perfect. So would you like to add a beneficiary to your application in case anything was to happen to you?
Yeah, my partner.
Yeah, would I be able to take their full name, please? Is
That's Wesley Duff.
that Leslie or Wesley?
Wesley, Lesley, and Duff.
And date of birth?
3879. And it's the same address.
3rd of the 8th,
1979. Yeah.
1979. Perfect. And do you have a contact number or an email address?
What's your number, Leslie? Mine or hers, sorry.
Hers.
I'll give you her email address. All right, here, her phone number. Oh,
Yeah.
I'll let her get it. Yeah.
No problem. Thank
Hi,
you.
07377
Yeah.
721
Yeah.
906.
946.
906.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And same address, you said, yeah?
Yeah, it's the same address, yeah.
popping that on the file for you. So regarding any impact factors, so have you received of any relevant payments, so criminal injuries compensation related to
not,
the abuse?
Not for that, but I have got post-traumatic stress disorder because of being in that place.
Yeah.
So I've got severe mental health problems now as well.
Yeah.
In later life, that's all developed for back then being put in that place. You know, like being took away from my friends, and I took out from school, and I had to do school, locked in this building, I had to stay in this same building, wasn't allowed outside, you know what I mean, it was
horrible. So, during this call as well, so I'll take details of your case settings, and then we'll take short statements then as well of what happened to you in each case setting.
Yep.
So just to tell us, you not received any compensation relating to it, or any advance payment scheme payments?
No, I'm on adult disability payment for my disability. That's the mental health and that and the post-traumatic stress. That's because of, I say because of what happened.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That will be added to the file as well. And regarding impact factors, did you have any criminal convictions?
Not at that point, no. I had 8-year-old. I sort of smashed a school window. We got charged for it.
So, were you, do you have any sentences of imprisonment of 5 years or more?
No. My criminal record's spent, actually. I've not been, the last
time
I was in trouble was 2003.
Yeah, so in regards to with the scheme, with the application, there's a couple of impact factors. So, it's whether you've got any criminal convictions for rape or murder, received a sentence of imprisonment of 5 years or more for a relevant violent or sexual offence.
Nothing like that, no.
Okay.
Despise people like that, trust me.
So the next step now, so to go through your case settings, so would you be able to name any case settings where you suffered any abuse and with approximate dates or time frames, anything you can remember?
Right, I'm trying to remember. I was at high school, so I was took out of high school. See, Scotland is different. We call it second and third year. What age would you be in second and third year, Leslie? 13, 14?
13.
Well, 12, 13 or... Yeah. With that.
So about 1980...
Round about then,
1980... Nine, roughly.
1980s. Because I left 1992, so yeah, it would have been roughly about that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because I come back basically, like near enough, just over a year, and then I'd done my exams, so it would be about correct, yes.
Yeah, so where were you first placed when you were about 12?
It was a place called Fertiviate House. It was through the Sick Children's Hospital. Now, they never told me that anything about this. This place was meant to help me with... I used to be incontinent when I was younger.
Yeah.
Right? And this was meant to help me. And then it turned out it was psychology as well to try and help me stop all that. And then... Like I say, I used to get pinned down by like four or five grown men recently, and like a leg and a wing flung into a padded room and that, you know what I mean? If I would toe the line and do what they told me and stuff like that, which I was only, like you said, at that age, I was only a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't need six men pushing me to the floor and kneeling on me and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Which I see that as abuse in itself.
Yeah, definitely. So what was that place you put? Sorry, would you be able to spell it for me?
It was
F-O-R-T-V-A.
I don't know who it is. T-V-A. Like the river, I suppose. I think it's closed down now, but it was under the Sick Kids Hospital, Edinburgh. And it was a very nice place. I had, like I said, I had to sleep there. I had to go to school there. I had to. I was, the doors were locked. So So basically, it was like a home.
You were locked in your room?
No, I was locked in the building. There was no exits through the building. You weren't allowed outside unless you were took out by the people that worked there, basically. And that was to a garden where they had a soft play. You know what I mean? I was 12, 13 years old. I didn't want to play a soft play.
Yes, little kids, isn't it?
You know what I mean? But it's the fact they flung them into padded cells and things like that at that age. I mean, it was ridiculous.
So you were placed there initially?
Yeah. I must have been there for a bit.
Well, you thought you were placed there?
Well, yeah. They sort of caught me out because I was going to meetings and they asked me if I'd be willing to go there. I didn't realise I was going to be made to stay. I thought it was going to be like a daily thing, then go home. But I've said yes, no understanding the full facts and the full what was actually going to happen to me.
Yeah.
So, look at it. The day came and I got sent there and I was obviously in floods of tears when the door was locked and my mum was leaving me there and things like that, and like I say, it's led to me my life's been ruined by post-traumatic stress disorder, and my mental health's absolutely all over the place, and it's all that caused it, my upbringing basically, and the care set that place that caused it. Like I say, if six men were to jump on me now, I'd go absolutely tonto. You know what I mean? There's no way they'd get to do that to me now. So the fact they've done it to a kid is just wrong.
So, in regards to you being sent there, so was it permission, like, be given like consent to be sent there by your parents, or was it your own, or?
Well, they asked me if I would be willing, and I said yes, but like I say, I didn't know what I was saying yes to. You know what I mean? I didn't know I was going to be locked in a building and have to stay there, have to go to school there and get basically abused and flung in. What, I'd have caught a cell. I mean, the treatment, the padded rooms were that bad. There were chalkboards on the wall, and you see crayons and that to write on the walls and things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As if I was some kind of lunatic. But I wasn't. I was just a lost young boy, basically. And my stepdad used to beat me up. And obviously my mum's thought, put me in there to get me away from my stepdad, you know what I mean? It was hellish, trust me.
Were you in the hospital initially, or were you just sent to this place after, say, visiting the hospital?
I used to go to appointments, and then I got sent to this place, and then I never got out of there for, like, 8 months or something like that. We used to get to go home at the weekend if you behaved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I got to go home at the weekends, but you have to be back prompt by the Sunday night, and then you were re-locked in again and stuff like that. It was, like I say, during the week, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. If I didn't like my dinner, I got put in a padded room. You know, that's no fair.
Yeah. Were you placed anywhere else after that?
No. Like I say, it's just ruined my life basically now.
Yeah. So you said that you didn't have the best time when you were at home.
I was violent and abused with my stepfather, and I didn't want to tell the social worker because I didn't want to put back in a home. You know what I mean? So he's passed away now. And so the only witness to that is my wee brother. But he'd be probably willing to tell you what he's seen. You know what I mean?
Were you placed in any care homes prior to this one?
No. Just this, just the Fertivit House one. But he had, the stepfather, he had a big say and make it and put it in there. You know what I mean? It was more like he took the decision out of my mother's hands, if you know what I mean.
And then you didn't want to inform social services because you didn't want to be put back into that place.
Honestly, it kicked me out of the house before I was even 16 year old. They used to, like, yeah, so legally I had to stay in that with my mother and that till I was 16. It's, obviously, you leave school when you get your national insurance number, don't you?
Yeah.
Right, and you can be still 15 when you get that. But he flung me out of the house before I turned 16 year old, and I used to not get birthday presents and Christmas presents and things like that. He was an ex-army man, and he was just, if I didn't make my bed when I come from school, I used to get beat up, and I'm talking like a proper adult beating. I'm ashamed to say this, but he used to kick me when I was on the phone until I wet myself and stomp on me and things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So before you were placed in the home, so was this going on before then?
This was going on before, yeah. So partly that was what was wrong with my psychologist, because he was doing that to me. And then I ended up getting put in a home because of it. And then I had men pinning me down in the home as well, which just brought back memories of him beating me up, if you know what I mean.
In regards to how you got sent there, so did your mum report what your stepdad was doing, or was it that
she kept quiet. She denied it and denied it all her life. But my whole family, my family knew. Like, my auntie, she's still alive. She knew what went on, but she'll not say. My brother, he witnessed it, and he would speak up if needed.
Yeah. So regarding, so further down the lines, we'll have to do more detailed witness statements with you. So when we gather all the evidence and all your records.
Yeah.
So sometimes then we ask if there'd be anyone that could give any supporting statements and things like that.
I said that would be my wee brother, Scott. Mm-hmm. I need to get his phone number and all that, because he stays in Glasgow at the moment, eh?
Yeah.
But he witnessed it. Like, he actually moved out of my mum's house and threatened my stepdad threatened to batter him, and he says, if you touch me, I'll phone the police and tell them what you've done to Paul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he ended up moving out of the house. So after my stepdad punched my wee brother punched him, to be honest,
for
what he'd done to me. None of my blood family, apart from my brother, done anything.
Yeah. So you were placed here because of the effects that the abuse you experienced at home.
Home life. And then I was placed in the home, basically. And then, like I say, if I didn't like my dinner, I was put in a pad. I was pinned to the floor. They tub my arms, they tub my legs, carry me, face down, and then just fling me into a padded cell and close the door. Leave me there for a few hours, and this happened quite regularly. I mean, it's just because I don't like food, that doesn't merit being put in a padded cell. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It doesn't merit grown adults restraining me the way they did either. They're not police officers, or not, they didn't really have the right to do that. I mean, weren't my parents, they weren't related to me. They didn't have the right to. It's just, what they'd done to me by pinning me down with that was assault. And they didn't have the right to do that. Basically, that's basically what's what.
Yeah, okay. So, your time at home, so social services went away. So were you in the care of social services at all while you were being abused by your stepfather?
No, because I wouldn't tell anybody.
Okay.
Because I was feared I'd get took away from my home, my family. You know what I mean? I never wanted to go home, ever. That's why I didn't tell anybody. I never used to do PE at school because I had bruises all over me and things like that. You know what I mean? It's one of the... My my doctor says I'm one of the ones that slips through the net, basically. Because I never told anybody what he'd done to me.
So you just stayed at home and dealt with the abuse from your stepfather and being sent back to that place?
I was constantly grounded. I'd been in trouble at school for a stupid thing at school. Made the whole class laugh or something. That was me. I was grounded for 2 months. You know what I mean? So I used to be sitting in my window and just look outside all the time. And like I say, and now I've been fully diagnosed with PTSD, and it's due to my childhood.
So in regards to everything we've spoken about now today, so I'll get this written up into statements and get your application all filled out and completed.
Yeah.
So there's two types of applications that can be pursued under the redress scheme. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and then that's regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. And then there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level you suffered.
Yeah.
So based on previous awards made and the severity of abuse you've suffered, we're pursuing the individually assessed payment. So is that okay?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the scheme in person. So we'll provide the statement on your behalf to the scheme.
You'll do all that for me, but I just need to provide evidence, information or evidence, whatever.
So we get all the evidence, so we contact all the institutions, all the councils, the GPs, so we do all of that for you. And then once we've gathered all the evidence,
take a note because you'll need to get the evidence for NHS Scotland, because it was a Royal Hospital for Sick Children in Edinburgh. It was one of their homes, basically.
NHS in Edinburgh, yeah.
Basically, it was somebody that should have looked after me.
Yeah.
Instead of what they've done to me.
Never
addressed what went on at home or that.
The hospital knew what was going on at home.
No, they know. I never told them either, but you know what I mean. I never tell anybody.
But you'd be covered in bruises, wouldn't you?
But I never told anybody until a wee bit later in life, and I eventually opened up to my doctor because my mental health was terrible, and it is still to this day. Because it got away with it, you know what I mean. My stepdad got away with what he'd done to me and died, and I never got revenge and stuff like that. All that kind of stuff goes through my head, and it's not nice.
Yeah. Okay, so and I'll get this all written up now for you, and then I'll give you a call back shortly, probably within the next 20 minutes, just to go through. So I'll be sending you the contracts over. So it'll be a client care letter, conditional fee agreement, and a letter of authority. And then the statement section and all your details we've covered today.
Well, basically, I send you 3 letters and a copy of my birth certificate. Do you want one of my cards as well, my bank card or something?
No, that's okay. So just a birth certificate and the 3 letters, just in case. So you can send this as an email. So I will send you that email now, so you can take a look at Yeah, so just while I'm finishing off your application, I'll send this email to you so you can take a look at that quickly.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I'll give you a call back shortly then, just to go through the contracts with you. And if you have any questions while you're signing them or anything Okay, so I'll give you a call back in about 20 minutes, okay?
That's fine, thank you.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.